For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock, as we get you ready for the upcoming fantasy baseball season. It is officially fantasy baseball draft month. Over the next 3 or 4 weeks, most folks, Davis, will be drafting their fantasy baseball teams. Some have already done so. I think most probably waiting for a week or two. There's been a lot of injuries, as you would expect, to pitching and some players being out. We got some news about that over the weekend. We're going to talk about that in terms of average draft position. But Davis, certainly the month of March is March Madness time, but it also is fantasy baseball madness time as well.
Yeah, this is really the time period I associate most with fantasy baseball. Is we mostly have a good idea of what young prospects are going to be breaking camp with the big team. We also know which ones are going to be sent back down. Generally speaking, by this time, March 9, 10, 11, we've probably had one guy who was really important for fantasy baseball already get injured, get suspended, something like that. Someone who drafted one of their main event teams in the NFBC, last weekend is sitting there saying, well, I guess I just lit $1,800 on fire because I took a guy who got injured. And this is really a good time to be locking down your opinions for the year.
Yeah, it definitely is. And a lot of things happened this week, which we're going to get to and kind of talk about how that affects the fantasy baseball season. Maybe none bigger than the fact that Dave Roberts announced that Mookie Betts is going to play shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers this season. And, Davis, I know it's really not going to affect fantasy players all that much because, again, he already qualified at second base. So you got that middle infield position covered if you take Mookie Betts. And he also isn't going to qualify at shortstop probably until the first month of the season is close to complete because most leagues you just don't get that qualification. But talk about the best athlete in the sport. Is there any question at this point who that is?
Well, yeah, because it's still Shohei Ohtani. But the reason why I find this particular spot so fascinating is because outfield, Craig, is actually – you're doing these fantasy baseball drafts and it used to be like, oh, filling five outfielders. Like I got seven outfielders that I like leaving my fantasy baseball draft. And if you just go look right now at the top 100 players who go in fantasy baseball, you would be surprised how quick outfield thins out for a lot of different reasons. I mean, obviously it's not just that Mookie Betts is not going to qualify there, or moving forward, but it is just bizarre that like, we're talking about this Dodgers team, this crazy Dodgers team that, oh, they're going to win 110 games. Their outfielders are James Outman, Teoscar Hernandez, Jason Hayward, rotating in with Enrique Hernandez and Miguel Vargas. Like it's just a little bit strange, really.
Yeah, no, it is. And to think that Betts will qualify at shortstop, second base, and outfield this season, makes him obviously a little bit more important on fantasy baseball draft day. So yeah. Bump up that ADP a little bit from where it already is. First round pick. Here are some other news and notes to get to here in case you missed it from the week. Joey Votto signs with the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't know about the fantasy relevance with that, but certainly a great story. He's probably headed to the Hall of Fame as soon as he's done. Noelvi Marte, who was a potential infielder for the Cincinnati Reds, his ADP was inside the top 200. Not going to be relevant in the first half of the season. He's been suspended for 80 games. So fire up McLean and Steer De La Cruz, maybe even Heimer Candelario as well. And Brian Bello signs a six-year, $55 million contract extension with the Boston Red Sox. They also lose Lucas Giolito, Davis, for an extended period of time. So good news, bad news for the Red Sox. And as we said, Mookie Betts is playing shortstop. So, we could go in a number of different ways here. I guess let's start with Votto because that's the fun story. I just don't know that it's a fantasy relevant story at this point.
I mean, I guess I would love for it to be a fantasy relevant story, but it's pretty hard for me to look at their lineup and be like, all right, this guy is going to play every day. And I mean, look, you got to be honest about it. Like, Joey Votto was definitely not at his best last season. If Joey Votto was at his best last season, I don't think that the Cincinnati Reds would have moved on from him. He also was injured for a good chunk of last season. It was the first time that he'd had like below league average in OPS plus since that awful 2020 year. You know, it's just a little bit of a bummer. Like, my first reaction to the story was, well, I mean, why does Joey Votto want to play his age 40 season for the Toronto Blue Jays after being, you know, since 2007 being a Cincinnati Red? But obviously, you know, the guy wants to keep playing baseball, so I get it. I just, you know, I kind of like when these guys are on one team forever. I don't think he'll end up being anything more than like a super, maybe AL-only streamer if he does, in fact, make the Blue Jays roster. The Nuelvi Marte one, though, that one is more interesting, Craig, because obviously, as you know, there is a lot of speculation that Ellie De La Cruz might strike out too much to be a major league player, that just like he might not quite be able to be good enough. And not having Marte in the lineup, not having him to go to, that might give a little bit of extra padding for De La Cruz to avoid getting sent down or benched at any given time.
Yeah, and look, the Reds will still be okay. They have a lot of depth there. Let's not forget Jonathan India is still on the Reds too, rookie of the year a couple of years ago. So, you know, they certainly are loaded. But pitcher injuries, another factor, Davis, into the season. We know Verlander starting the season on the IL. We found that out. You know, Giolito, who the Red Sox signed to a two-year contract, I would guess he's not going to pitch in the first year of that deal as well. Sonny Gray says he's okay, but probably not going to start the season, at least initially, first time through the rotation. The Marlins are going to be missing Braxton Garrett. I mean, I guess it's this time of the year where there's really nothing you can do. It's like you're drafting, and I know I'm doing a slow draft right now, and it's like I'm on the clock for 4 hours. People are complaining, make your pick. I'm like, okay, but if I don't, maybe I can learn something. You know, it's a tough dynamic right now.
It is a tough dynamic right now. You get this all the time, you know, the Raz Slam with our buddy Gray Albright and everything, and look, man, you would actually be stupid to be the fastest picking person in your slow draft when spring training games are going on. Now, maybe if you're picking at 10 o'clock at night, maybe you go ahead and just make your pick. But if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I mean, news could be breaking at any given time. I think the Marte news actually did come through in the afternoon. It's like, what are you going to do? It's like, oh, you were on the clock in the 13th round and you were going to take Marte, but then you decided to wait, and you definitely could have benefited from that situation. Those pitching injuries, by the way, I mean, it feels like we are in for kind of an all-time bad pitching injury season. I just am getting those vibes. There was that report in The Athletic earlier in the week about they spoke to some physical therapists and some sports science guys, and basically like, we expect it to get worse. It's these sweeping pitches that the guys are throwing that are just causing a ton of tension on their elbow. And it's a war between the pitchers and the hitters, and the pitchers have to keep innovating, but they're innovating in such a way that I think is going to injure them long term.
Yeah, I mean, the sweeper, you're right. That's like the new pitch. It's like everyone's like, it's a slider, but apparently there's like more torque on the
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Elbow. So I don't know what that even means. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today. We're going to take a look at the average draft position at the second base position in fantasy, which is obviously going to undergo a major change with Mookie Betts moving to shortstop. So who's left after that? We'll tell you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock, as fantasy baseball draft season is underway, and it is underway here on FST and on Sports Grid. By the way, Joe Pizzapia, Matt Stryker have a show tomorrow morning. Make sure you tune in. Anything that you miss on our show, maybe they'll cover it for you there. But today on our program, Davis, we're going to talk about the second base position in fantasy baseball. We have about 10 players drafted it looks like, in the ADP inside the top 100. And some new names, I think, kind of joining the mix here. Not at the top. I think it's the familiar names that you know from last year. But players like Spencer Steer and Bryson Stott, Matt McClain are all entering inside the top 100. And really good offensive spots, I would say, for some of the players. It's really what it comes down to in a lot of these situations.
I mean, when it's at the very high end, you definitely are going to be impacted by who your teammates are, how many runs are available, how many RBIs are available, just how good the overall offense is. But as we mentioned, I mean, it is kind of incredible. We're going to go over 10 guys at second base who are going inside the top 100 picks in fantasy baseball. I mean, like, I've been doing fantasy sports for a long time, and, like, second base and shortstop used to be, like, brutal positions. There would be, like, six really good shortstops who were amongst, like, the best players overall in fantasy baseball, and then it would be a lot of, you know, Alcides Escobar types, and I don't know why it has shifted this way, but as we go through, you know, we are going to see a lot of the, like, just truly premier players in Major League Baseball are all second basemen.
Yeah. And let's talk about some of those inside the top 50, and then we'll get a little bit deeper. But these are the easy names because, again, there'll be no surprises here, Davis, for you. So Mookie Betts is in the first round of every draft. He's at 4. There's a little bit of a drop-off there to Ozzie Albies at 20. Marcus Semien is at 27, followed by Jose Altuve, who's coming off a huge year, and a contract extension, Davis, by the way. So the Astros feeling really good about him. At 36, he's an Astro for life. And then Nico Horner jumps inside the top 60 for the first time ever, up about 100 from where he was a year ago. So those are sort of the first five. There's, you know, we'll talk about Horner, you know, extensively, I'm sure, because there's some risk involved there. But he's coming off a fantastic season with the Cubs.
He is coming off of a fantastic season. I would say, obviously, he carries the most risk of any of these guys up in here. To be clear, he was amazing last year. 43 stolen bases actually helped you in the batting average. I mean, that's so rare for a guy who you draft for stolen bases to be a positive in batting average. But 283, 281, the most recent 2 years, didn't even get past 83 strikeouts last season. And to be fair, I mean, the projection stuff is very bullish on him. His composite projection, 10 home run, 63 RBIs, 32 stolen bases, a 280 batting average. I mean, if I'm sitting there on the clock, Craig, I probably am scrolling down a little bit at second base past Nico Horner. I probably prefer Gleyber Torres. I probably prefer Spencer Steer at what they cost to Nico Horner. I mean, it's just kind of, that's more personal preference than anything else. And really, no one is better set up at second base than Ozzie Albies. I mean, all this guy has to do is just show up and do kind of the bare minimum of what he has done in the past, and he's just going to run in to such great numbers. I mean, a great example would be his 2021 season. He hits 259, 30 homers, 20 stolen bases, but he gets 103 runs and 106 RBIs in, like, a good season, but not a great season, because he plays for the Atlanta Braves. Like, he plays in, actually, better than the Dodgers, honestly, like, the best lineup in the National League, probably actually in all of baseball.
Well, if there's an up-and-coming lineup, it's got to be in Cincinnati. Matt McClain burst onto the scene. He had, Davis, last year, one of the best spring trainings of anybody in baseball. So I understand spring training doesn't mean anything, Davis, but sometimes it does. You know, like, 1 out of 10, it does. And this guy destroyed spring training last year, and now he's inside the top 60. How about that? A fifth-round pick in fantasy. Davis finally got the realization, it took 3 years, of Ha-Seong Kim of the San Diego Padres. You're right. It took you 3 years, but he's finally there inside the top 100. And by the way, a budding superstar, I would say, right now in baseball. But look, finally last year was the year he did it. Gleyber Torres, sort of a boring player. Spencer Steer, so another red inside the top 100. And then Davis, Bryson Stott really came in to his own last year at the end of the season and hit a huge grand slam in the postseason. And the Phillies are hoping there's even more there for him this year.
Definitely. So Kim, I mean, is I think the more interesting name of this list, because I actually think he's got room to build on his power heading into his age 28 season. He clearly is one of these guys who changed his approach at the plate last season. He went from the last 3 years, 71 strikeouts, then 100 strikeouts, then 124 strikeouts last year. And obviously the astute viewer at home might be saying, well, do we want guys striking out? And the answer is, well, not really. I mean, you would prefer the strikeouts to remain neutral. But what it does mean is that a guy is trying to launch the ball more often, which we definitely do want for fantasy baseball. We don't want guys who hit 278 with 9 home runs and just walk a ton or you know, just generate a bunch of outs via the bat instead of striking out. And that's what Kim was for the first 2 years of his career. I think a guy who actually could probably get to like 20 home runs, 35 stolen bases with a 260-ish batting average. Now, obviously, he does not play in as good of a lineup as he has in years past. You know, Juan Soto departed those pastures, and we'll see what ends up happening with the San Diego Padres this year. McClain, again, pretty interesting. He's dealing with this oblique injury in spring training. Doesn't really seem like it is that big of a deal. He, again, is another one of those guys where, I mean, he's not even scratched the surface. Only 365 at-bats last year, got to 16 home runs. You mentioned the postseason heroics. He also, the projection systems, Craig, are I don't think, being particularly fair to him. His composite batting average, if you look at everyone, has given him a 253. He hit 290 last year, like, without, you know, being a young guy who didn't know how to draw walks at the major league level yet. I think he could definitely improve in that category.
All right, so now closing out the top second baseman in fantasy. You may be surprised to see this name at the end of the list. I think most people thought he'd be near the top of the list. It's the most fascinating player, really, in baseball, in Luis Arraez, who's at 160 in terms of his ADP. It's sort of incredible, Davis, when you think about a guy who's going to hit 340 or 350, how little they mean to the scope of fantasy. But Andrés Giménez at 109, Ketel Marte, boring pick at this point, but you know who he's going to be, right? So Zach Gelof is very interesting in Oakland, Davis, so like a 2020 guy, but will the A's just trade him? I mean, they're not going to be competing for years until they go to Vegas. Tyro Estrada, and then Luis Arraez, Davis, who, again, he's going to help you so much in batting average. I think he's like more important maybe in an NL-only league because the pool is a little bit more thin, but in a mixed league, I mean, he's an incredible player. Like, he's doing things that nobody else can do, but because the other numbers aren't there, I don't think he gets the hype, and certainly he's not inside the top 10 or 15.
Yeah, no, he's not, which is, I mean, look, it is kind of a bummer. I guess Luis Arraez is not that different, Craig, from, you know, in years past, like a D. Gordon, like a guy who you just draft for one category only. He helps you win that category, but he actively takes away from you in other categories. So last season, Luis Arraez was awesome. I mean, just clearly the best season of his career, right? He hits 354. Just like no one is in this dude's territory. No one can sniff where this guy is at in batting average. 10 home runs, 3 stolen bases, 71 runs scored, 69 RBI. It's not enough, right? Now, I mean, could this guy try and steal more? I mean, if he could get to 18 stolen bases, like if he decided to, I think you're right. I don't think he would. But if he did, you're talking about a guy who then could be like a sixth round pick in fantasy. But I just don't think he would do that direction.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the best like hitters I've ever seen, like literally like ever yeah. seen like Gwynn and Boggs and Carew. I mean, he's just amazing. But for fantasy purposes, crazy to think you'd rather have a Zach Gelof than Luis Arraez. I guess that is the nature of our game in fantasy baseball. Nuts. All right, we'll take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today on this Saturday morning. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Let's dive into the first base position. These are the NFBC average draft positions. For those of you who are not familiar, what NFBC stands for, it is the National Fantasy Baseball Championships, and this is where a lot of the money is spent as far as season-long fantasy baseball leagues that people are considering. They're called high-stakes leagues. For those of you who are not familiar, maybe this is the first time you're learning about this, which is fine. A lot of people don't know. Or maybe you're just doing your you know, friend's fantasy baseball league. Maybe this can help you out as well. But Davis, the first base position is sort of every year where you kind of have to strike gold a little bit. Like it's not the most important position in fantasy. I feel like it's still making sure you have enough starting pitching and innings to get through the season. That's, you know, obviously huge. You don't have to take a pitcher at the top, but at the end of the year, if you don't have enough pitching and strikeouts, you're never going to win a league. And on top of it, this is where first base, I think, comes in, Davis. Home runs and pitching, right? Like steals are going to work itself out. Runs are going to work itself out. If you do not get enough home runs and you find yourself in June so far back, you can't make that up. You're not going to the waiver wire to find that. And so, therefore, first base has to be a position where you're getting, I mean, I would think at least 25, 30 home runs.
That is correct. I mean, first base and like probably your first or second outfielder, generally speaking, has got to be a power guy. And it is, I mean, I suppose the weird thing is that some of the best hitters in baseball are transitioning away from that first base spot. Like, you don't have to get too far down at first base to start being like, really? Like, are we sure this is the guy who is the 13th best first baseman in fantasy baseball? Now, at the top, obviously, these guys are mega home run hitters, right? Freeman, Vlad, Bryce Harper. Would be weird for some people to see Harper's name there. But generally speaking, I've kind of seen this strategy play out for some people over, you know, last like 5 years or so, Craig. But a lot of people actually prefer to go down at first base. They prefer to be one of the positions they try and make up in the aggregate. You know, instead of taking Matt Olson, maybe they do, you know, an Alec Bohm, Andrew Vaughn sort of platoon later on. And I have gone the exact opposite way. I almost always want to have a premium first baseman.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up with Matt Olson as mine. I just, you know, can't pass on 40 home runs. And from a guy who's been around the league 10 years, you could say the same thing about Freddie Freeman. So let's take a look here. As Freddie is on that Hall of Fame trajectory, he's inside the top 10 batting average, home runs, runs driven in, runs, plays in L.A. This is a very fair ADP, I think, for him. Olson coming off the career year at 16. As Davis mentioned, Bryce Harper exclusively a first baseman now. And also, remember, missed some time last year, too, with that Tommy John. He's at 18. Davis, Pete Alonso, really interesting name, I think, going into the season. He's a free agent at the end of the year. And talk about having a great spring. This guy's hitting home runs every day in spring training in Florida. And then Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at 32, another player that sort of, I mean, bounce back, I don't know if that's fair, but, you know, remember, Vlad was a top 20 pick, you know, like people are wanting more out of Vlad.
And I think they rightfully want more out of Vlad. I think that Vlad, the story of his career outside of the one incredible season in 2021, I mean, he's mostly left people wanting. I think that's, it's totally legitimate. 48 home runs in 2021, 32 in 2022, only 26 in 2023. I mean, Vlad's problem is very clear. He does not generate enough of a launch angle with the ball. I mean, he just hits way too many balls directly into the ground. Not saying that Vlad is bad. Not saying that you shouldn't take him at this cost. Although I do suppose if we are being truthful here, I would prefer not to take Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to be my first baseman in fantasy baseball. I the two guys who go directly behind him, Nolan Jones and Paul Goldschmidt, I think are better bets. In fact, Goldschmidt, I would maybe even, you could maybe talk me into a wager of him just straight up outproducing the much younger Vladimir Guerrero Jr. At first base, I do understand why people would maybe be a little bit hesitant to, you know, really want to get one of these guys, these expensive guys, in their fantasy baseball team, because they really only are four category players, right? I mean, Freeman will get you 10 stolen bases, Harper will get you 10 stolen bases, but Vlad, Olson, Alonso, Goldschmidt, Nolan Jones, all these guys, these are like 5 to 7 stolen bases, absolute maximum.
And what's interesting about the next grouping, Davis, you mentioned Nolan Jones, who I think has a chance to be a superstar, but isn't it fascinating how, for the first time, it feels like in a long time, there's so few Rockies, and you always want to stack those Rockies in these season-long leagues. There's just not a lot of guys to take anymore. By the way, Chris Bryant is going to play first base for them. Nolan Jones also qualifies in the outfield, but I think there's a lot more there, Davis, in this, and if he plays every day, you never know with the Rockies, by the way, but if he does play every day, you know, CJ Cron is gone. I mean, there is a potential fantasy superstar here with Nolan Jones. His ADP is 51. Cody Bellinger at 53. There's some risk involved there, Davis. Paul Goldschmidt, as you mentioned, if you don't get one of the top guys, you end up with Goldie. You still feel pretty good, right, at 75. Christian Walker, similar in a way. He's going to crush your batting average. You know he's hitting 30 home runs at 85. And this may be the final year you can get Tristan Casas of the Boston Red Sox at 95. I kind of have a feeling that Davis, he's going to jump 40, 50 ADP. There's some who think that after this season, he's like a top three or top four first baseman in fantasy. But again, he hasn't done it yet, but he looks like he's got the type to do it.
Yeah, Casas, I mean, I remember when Bobby Dalbec was going to be the next best first baseman in, you know, for the Boston Red Sox. So maybe I'm just feeling a little bit of trepidation there. Nolan Jones, you're right. He clearly is the Rocky that you want. Craig, the problem with the Rockies this year, I guess we've got a lot of time to get into this later on maybe, but the issue with the Rockies is they just all stink and they're all in platoons. You know, that didn't always used to be the case. It used to be with the Rockies, they'd have three or four guys who were just very good players. They would play every day. They wouldn't be in platoons. They would just be out there. They could play. No, I mean, you would maybe say Nolan Jones is one of the few guys, you know, who's absolutely stone cold, locked in. Like Blackman will platoon a little bit. Bryant, I mean, can we even count on Bryant to show up 5 days a week, like with his health? Like, definitely not. I guess, you know what? Not fair. Nolan Jones, Brendan Rodgers, Ryan McMahon, those guys will play every single day. Everyone else, totally, who knows? You did hit the name here that I really like for fantasy baseball. I just feel like Goldschmidt is always a little bit undervalued because he, like, the dude is not flashy at all, but it's like 100 runs, 100 RBIs. He's going to steal you 10 to 13 stolen bases. He's going to hit anywhere from 270 to 305 based on his range. Like, he just is a really good pick in fantasy baseball. Yeah, he's heading into his age 36 season, so maybe you're getting into a little bit of an age cliff. But I don't know. Feels like he is he's definitely one of those, you when you click Paul Goldschmidt, no one goes, oh, I was going to take Goldschmidt. Great pick, right? You know? But he just always gets it done.
Yeah. No, and when you look at his ADP versus Bellinger, like, you'd have a hard time convincing me to take Bellinger over Goldschmidt. I probably would just click Goldschmidt. All right, now our next grouping of players, you know, some of these players are a little bit new and different to the pool, so I'll kind of go through this here. So Spencer Steer qualifies at first base and is one of the reasons Joey Votto is no longer there. So he's at 96. Yonier Diaz of the Houston Astros, Davis, you may be saying, wait a second here, I don't get this. He's a catcher, okay? So let's be clear on that. And that's where you want to play Diaz, at catcher. Very big prospect for the Astros going into the season. He's inside the top 100. You do not want to be playing him at first. Spencer Torkelson, I don't know, former first pick overall, Davis. I mean, I guess he's looked okay, but the Tigers definitely thought more was coming here. Maybe this is the year for him. Josh Naylor, Salvador Perez, you know him. He's a catcher that also plays first base as well. But there's a major drop-off here at this point.
There's a huge drop-off here, and this is kind of the territory where you definitely can get a win out of this territory, and if you do, you're feeling awesome, right? Like, if you do take Spencer Torkelson and he lives up to everything that people thought he was going to be as a prospect, right? Last year, 31 home runs, no stolen bases to speak of, hit 233, but if he gets more, if he's like 255, 37 home runs, gets to 96 RBIs, huge win, right? Same would be true of, I guess of Christian Encarnacion Strand would be one of them. I actually maybe, and I don't, maybe I'm being a homer a little bit here, but I really have liked what I've seen from Vinny Pasquianto, old Vinny Pete, not as much of a raw power guy, probably more of the like 285 batting average, 21 home run style guys. But I think he is a pretty decent stand. The Rhys Hoskins, who now is a Milwaukee Brewer, is another one of those guys who has like a pretty good track record of being an awesome guy for fantasy baseball. And you see it right here. I'm falling for the trap of, you can find anyone to hit 27 home runs at first base. You can take Jose Abreu. You can take Brandon Drury. You can take Isak Paredes. You can take Ty France. And like, yes, you definitely can do that. And these guys will get you 18, 19, 20 home runs. But you're getting dominated. You're getting crushed by the guy who took Paul Goldschmidt. You're getting crushed by the guy who took Nate Lowe. You know, it's just kind of the name of the game.
Yeah, and, you know, Josh Bell, another one of those names out there. A lot of potential options at first base, but once you get through the top 10, you just know that the next 10, Davis, you got probably like a 40 or 50% chance you're getting a bust. I mean, you're just not going to get a guy that's going to hit 30 home. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wow, I just totally whiffed at first base. It's hard to come back from. All right, coming up next, we dive into third base and shortstop in fantasy baseball as Davis and I dive into some of the players that are available to you. So stay on the grid for that. Also, plenty more coming up. We got Fantasy Reality, the Sports Grid 60. Each and every Saturday, Davis and I are covering the fantasy baseball landscape all throughout the fantasy baseball season. So make sure you stick with us as we'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We're running through the average draft position for those of you who are drafting in fantasy baseball, the National Fantasy Baseball Champions Leagues. We're taking a look at all of the average draft positions. So this is basically what that means in layman's terms, where players are being taken, what round, what pick, etc. And now we moved on to the third base position in fantasy, which is, let's just be honest, a little bit more dicey than some of the others. Some very high upside, some very big downside. But it all begins and ends, Davis, with, again, you mentioned Paul Goldschmidt. The Paul Goldschmidt of third base is actually the top third baseman on the board. He's boring. He finishes top five of the MVP every season. It doesn't matter who's on the team. You don't see a lot of interviews with this guy. He's not really, you know, a popular player. But Jose Ramirez, Davis, is incredible. I mean, he really is. He's just not a sexy pick whenever you take him. You could easily take him with the sixth pick in fantasy and be very happy at the end of the season. He's 15. Austin Riley is 19 with all those home runs. Eli De La Cruz, boy, is there some risk and reward involved there at 22. Devers is, by the way, similar to Jose Ramirez, probably at 23. And then Gunnar Henderson, who came into last season with an extremely high ADP. Davis, in April and May, it looked like, oh my gosh, this was a complete bust of a pick. He may have been the best player at his position, not named, and we'll get to Royce Lewis, not named Royce Lewis in the second half of the season. Gunnar Henderson, from about the summer on, moved his way up into the top five conversation.
Yeah, for sure he did. So Ramirez obviously is kind of the beginning of the conversation. You're right. I mean, I'm not going to say anything new or groundbreaking about Jose Ramirez. He has been one of the best assets in fantasy baseball since 2017. He didn't hit too many home runs in 2016, but he just is. Yeah, he is kind of the Paul Goldschmidt, just very steady dominance. I probably would not actually be as into Austin Riley. You're not getting any stolen bases there. He actually probably loses in batting average to Devers, might even lose in batting average to Machado. It's just, I guess the thing with Riley is, I mean, he could go out there and just have like a pretty bad season at the plate, but just get so many freaking counting numbers because he is an Atlanta Brave. He probably ends up getting 100 RBIs and 97 runs scored just from batting where he bats in that Atlanta Braves lineup. I think in terms of the top five, the one who I am most into is actually probably Gunnar Henderson. I think I prefer Henderson to Eli De La Cruz if we're talking about taking on some risk. I definitely feel that Henderson will beat De La Cruz in batting average, definitely won't beat him in steals. You definitely are going to get, I mean, De La Cruz is the one who could go, what do you think his absolute ceiling is, like 38 home runs and 62 stolen bases or something like that in terms of like 99th percentile outcome, whereas Henderson is going to be more like 34 home runs and 18 stolen bases, but just for one season he hits 300, you know, 303 or something like that. That would be like the best season for him. Now the Orioles, they might end up being the best offense in the American League East or in the American League entirely if like all these young prospects kind of hit their ceiling at the same time. It's very unlikely, but it could happen. It is crazy though, Craig. I mean, you know the vibe I'm getting from Eli De La Cruz. I'm getting some Mondesi vibes, not in terms of the injury, but in terms of everyone's just drafting him because the only thing they can see is the ceiling, but no one seems to care at all about the fact that this guy like could get benched or sent down to the minors. Like it's a real possibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating player, which, as you said, the ceiling for 20 homers, 60 steals. They look at Corbin Carroll and they're like, well, let me get that next Carroll. But I don't know. Is De La Cruz that guy? Okay, now, best player maybe overall in fantasy, Davis, for 2 months? Was it Royce Lewis? I mean, it may have been. I mean, Royce Lewis was unstoppable for about 2 or 3 months. And if this is who he is arguably the top third base slash shortstop guy that we should be talking about here. His ADP is 46. I mean, just take a look at those extrapolated numbers. Manny Machado, consistently inside the top 30, 40, has now moved to 57. Ha-Sung Kim qualifies at this position. Alex Bregman Davis is another one of those boring picks, as we talked about, but he's in a contract year, so I'm very curious the kind of year he's going to have in Houston. And then Nolan Arenado checks in at 92 inside the top 100.
Yeah, Royce Lewis in only 217 plate appearances last year. 15 home runs, 52 RBIs, 6 stolen bases, a .309 batting average. If you do any kind of extrapolation on that, even if you start to regress him a little bit, I mean, this is a guy who is, yeah, has a chance to be the number one overall earner at this position. Obviously, the market is not fully bought in, and that's why you can get him where you can get him instead of having to take him in the first or second round. I mean, would you rather have Royce Lewis or Ellie De La Cruz? I don't know. You could probably talk me into either one. Definitely going to be buying on Machado. I mean, I just think Manny Machado is a very good player. There are reasons people don't like him. I mean, honestly, people are just kind of bored of him, but this is like, this is, you know, 30 home runs, very good chance of being, you know, 90 runs, 90 RBIs. Like, he's just kind of a very boring, very good. He's just been around so long, no one even really like thinks twice about him anymore. But he's like incredibly solid for fantasy baseball. Arenado, I mean, I missed when Nolan Arenado was like an absolute force to be reckoned with because he was the best hitter for those Rocky teams back in the day. You know, we're talking like 41 home runs, 100 runs scored, 120 RBIs, like. I do miss that version of Nolan Arenado. It's just not like he's not even the best hitter on the Cardinals anymore. Yeah, this is probably the right range to be targeting your third baseman in, though.
All right, let's take a look at some others that go deeper in draft. Spencer Steer again qualifies at the position. He's at 96. Josh Jung looks like starting off the season a little bit banged up again, unfortunately. And Nathaniel Lowe also at first base. Texas has some injury issues. Yandy Diaz got that contract extension from Tampa Bay, making the most of it. He qualifies at third and first. Jake Berger was phenomenal for Miami as soon as he came over in that trade with the White Sox, Davis. He was unstoppable with them. So I don't know which way you go there at 152. And then Alec Bohm, who some people, you know, when he first came up, thought had a chance to be a superstar, took a little bit of a step back. But again, Davis still plays in that lineup where he's going to see a ton of fastballs this season.
He will. I mean, Bohm, again, he would be the guy where I just keep hoping that he gets a little bit better. And he did. I mean, look, 2022 to 2023, he did get better. He got a lot better from 2021 to 2022. I mean, after 2021, we were like, maybe this guy just is not even a Major League Baseball player at all. He got up to 20 home runs and 97 RBIs and 558 plate appearances last year. I think probably he's one of my favorite cheaper guys at third base. Mikel Garcia for our Kansas City Royals, a cheaper third baseman, probably get 20, 25 stolen bases from him. We talked about Ryan McMahon for the Rockies a little bit earlier. I think he's pretty interesting. You know, we did our Rays season preview last week. Isak Paredes, man, I mean, you're probably not going to get very many six start weeks from him, just the way that the Rays work. But if he duplicates anything like what he did last year, even in 480 plate appearances, just absolutely giant win there, no doubt about it, at third base.
All right, so that's our third base preview. Now let's move over to shortstop. In years past, in fantasy sports, Davis, I would say in general, you can always make the case for the first pick to be the second pick and the second pick to be the first. It's like a rare year when a season happens like this year where Ronald Acuña Jr. is the consensus number one. He's going number one in, I think, like 99% of drafts this year. But would you say that the biggest consensus number two, like in a long time, is Bobby Witt Jr.? Like, it's obvious. Like, there's no three. It's Witt at two, period, point blank. And by the way, we talked about hot finishes to the season. Witt was one of the best players in baseball after the All-Star break. Mookie Betts will be at four. when he qualifies at short eventually. Trey Turner is there at 12. He was the first or second pick in fantasy last year. Corey Seager's at 21. He just started spring training, Davis, so I assume he'll be ready for the season, but he's just getting back into games. And then you have, again, Ellie De La Cruz at 22. But it's one of those things where it's like if you're drawing the numbers for fantasy and you get one, you're like having a huge party because you're getting Acuna. And if you get two, you're like, all right, I'm not having a huge party, but I'm still having a party. I'm very happy with Witt at two.
You have to be super happy with Witt at two. I mean, you're getting 30 home runs. You're getting 40 stolen bases. You're getting 100 runs scored. We'll see how many RBIs he's able to get. The Royals actually tried a little bit this offseason, so maybe they won't be, you know, truly despondent to watch play baseball. I mean, yeah, Bobby Witt is he's the perfect guy for fantasy baseball. And, I mean, we just went through all these names. Witt, Betts, Turner, Seager. We already talked about De La Cruz. Like, shortstop, man, you better not try and do cheap at shortstop. You better not try and make, you know, Anthony Volpe and Carlos Correa your tandem at shortstop. It's just not going to work because these guys, I mean, every guy in the top five here is like a potential 30-30 guy, and you're just going to need players like that who are also hitting 280 and also scoring 97 runs to win your fantasy baseball league. Like, it is a huge advantage. I guess Corey Seager doesn't steal too many bases, but it is a huge advantage to get one of these guys who are these super premium middle infielders.
All right, let's move on from there. We have our first conversation about a few players here. Francisco Lindor checks in at 24. Gunnar Henderson, again, qualifies at short, so he's there at 29. Bo Bichette, Davis, is down from where he was a year ago. His ADP is 35. C.J. Abrams is way up for the Washington Nationals. Look how many home runs and steals that guy had last year. If he repeats that, how does his ADP at 37? I'm not sure. And then Nico Horner, again, qualifies at short. He's at 55.
He is at 55. Henderson, I mentioned, I really like. Abrams, I think, is he kind of fits in that Ellie De La Cruz category where it's like, yeah, he definitely has a lot to build on. In fact, he probably has more to build on than De La Cruz. He did strike out a ton, 32 walks to 118 strikeouts last year, but he got a lot better as the season went on. That is definitely one of the keys. De La Cruz didn't really. In fact, De La Cruz got a little bit worse as the season went on. But Henderson would be my pick of this group here, this second group.
All right. And then finally, some names we've discussed and some new names as well. Inside the top 15 at shortstop, Matt McClain of the Reds. O'Neill Cruz, who missed most of last season for the Pittsburgh Pirates. A lot of swing and miss, a lot of home runs and steals coming your way again. Ha-Seong Kim. Davis, Xander Bogaerts, $300 million, Davis, to Xander Bogaerts, who now is playing second base for the San Diego Padres. I actually took him. I thought he was just going way too low in these drafts. Like, I mean, Bogaerts, does his skill set drop off that much to be this far down? And Dansby Swanson, another player who signed a big contract with the Cubs. Okay year for him, but not exactly what I guess we thought.
O'Neill Cruz, for me, is the, I mean, look, he's the easy click here, right? 17 home runs, 11 stolen bases, and roughly 300 plate appearances in 2022. He is the De La Cruz-style bet. You just get him a little bit cheaper on a little bit of a worse team, but you got to be, as I just mentioned, you can't be losing shortstop. You can't just take one of these get-me-over-the-finish-line guys at shortstop, and Cruz definitely is not that.
Yeah, definitely not. All right, so that's our look at a lot of the positions in fantasy and the average draft position. To give you an idea, we got plenty more to come here on the show. We talked about the Raz Slam. Razzball's Gray Albright is going to join us, and we'll talk about some of the players that he took in the League of Alternative Baseball Reality in the auction format. For those of you who are interested in that, you may want to stay tuned. So we got another hour to go here, but first let's take a quick time out here on the show, and we'll be back to preview hour two next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Davis here with you as we wrap up this hour. We got another hour to go. We're going to talk about outfielders, average draft position, also fantasy reality, Sports Grid 60. Gray Albright will be with us from Raz Ball. So for those of you who are getting ready to draft in fantasy baseball, the average draft position is your key to your success. This is not like the old days of getting magazines and printing out stuff and writing stuff down. Although you could still do that, I guess, if you want to do it. But look, I mean, you have the average draft position, and then you see, Davis, where the players are being picked by people who are actually putting their money where their mouth is. You don't have to take those players based on that, but it's a good guide to know. So I think it helps people out, which is something that, you know, ADP, think about that. 20 years ago, did we even know what ADP was? We didn't. And I think it's a huge tool that could at least guide you along the way.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, Craig, I have been playing fantasy baseball and fantasy football for so long. I do remember the magazines, and I don't know, maybe I'm alone in this, but I still buy the magazines, man. Like when I'm out, you know, I'm going to go to the grocery store later today and I'm hanging out and I see, you know, my friends work on these magazines. My friends do these things. Like I will buy the magazine. I will buy, you know, the NBC Sports Fantasy Baseball magazine. I will buy the fantasy football magazines every single year. I mean, one, it's cool. And I do remember, I bet you've had this experience where, you know, you did an article or you participated in one of the drafts in these magazines, and then you show up to the draft and you have the magazine. You're like, oh, look, my name is in here. Like I am accomplished. I did something in the world that we did here. And you're so right about ADP. I mean, when did this really get popularized as a concept? Probably about 10 years ago, I would guess, yeah, but definitely not like super recently.
Yeah, no, it's just common now. And, you know, there are a lot of people who don't even know what that is. They just have their rankings and people, I mean, it is the other word for rankings. I guess that's fair, right? Like instead of using the word rankings, we use average draft position. That's kind of where we go with it. Okay, so let's take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be back in less than 2 minutes. Don't go away.